In 1960, an extraordinary literary voice emerged from Sao Paulo's Canine de Favela, Carolina Maria de Jesus, a Black single mother who survived by collecting paper and scrap metal, published a diary that would shake Brazilian society to its core. Her unflinching account of daily life in the favela, the hunger, the violence, the indignity, captured readers with its raw authenticity and surprising poetic power. Written in what critics called her semi-educated yet powerfully creative language, Carolina's diary sold over 100,000 copies in Brazil alone and was eventually translated into 13 languages. What made her words so compelling? Perhaps it was the stark contrast between her circumstances and her unflagging dignity. Or maybe it was her ability to transform the brutal realities of poverty into testimony without losing her humanity. While briefly escaping poverty through her literary success, Carolina's story remains tragically relevant decades later, as Brazil's favelas have only multiplied, housing millions in conditions not vastly different from what she described. Her diary stands as both historical document and timeless witness to the human spirit's resilience in the face of society's indifference. The worst thing in the world is hunger. This refrain echoes throughout Carolina's diary, revealing how this primal need dominates favela life. Each morning begins with the same anxiety. Will there be enough to eat today? Some days bring only beans and salt for her children, or plain coffee and meat with flour. The physical sensations are vividly described. Hunger dizziness is worse than alcohol's, she writes. Alcohol dizziness makes us sing, but hunger makes us tremble. After finding food following a day collecting paper, she notes, "Before eating, I saw everything yellow. After eating, everything normalized to my eyes." Carolina regularly collects discarded food from garbage cans, selecting the ones that weren't spoiled. When merchants pour disinfectant over discarded meat, she sees it as deliberate cruelty. Most heartbreaking are her children's pleas. "My children's symphony. Mommy, I want bread. Mommy, I'm hungry." On her daughter's birthday, Carolina can only offer congratulations instead of cake. She ate crying, a simple sentence that powerfully captures poverty's emotional devastation. Carolina's most enduring metaphor for the favela is the garbage room of a city, where society discards what it no longer values. "We, the poor, are the old furniture," she writes. This reflected Caninde's physical reality, built on the muddy Tietê riverbanks amid trash. The environment constantly undermines dignity. Carolina fetches water before dawn from the communal tap, where women queue in long lines. Her shack of discarded materials barely shields her from the elements. During rainstorms, she stays awake fixing leaks. The sensory experience is oppressive. The only perfume that exhales in the favela is rotten mud, excrement, and cheap liquor. Insects and vermin are constant companions, with fleas disrupting sleep, rats damaging her books, and mosquitoes she kills with burning newspaper. Carolina bitterly classifies Sao Paulo. The palace is the living room. The city hall is the dining room. The city is the garden. And the favela is the backyard where they throw the garbage. At the heart of Carolina's diary is her identity as a mother, shielding her three children, João, José Carlos, and Vera Eunice, from their harsh environment, transforming daily struggles into purposeful mission. Carolina establishes boundaries to protect her children's development, guiding João to choose friends wisely, since environment shapes character. After learning about youth rehabilitation centers, she seeks gentler discipline approaches, recognizing institutional harm. Her primary concern is preserving childhood innocence amid difficult circumstances, redirecting conversations when the favela forces children to encounter adult realities prematurely. Despite financial constraints, education remains a priority. She ensures her sons attend school even without proper clothing, taking pride in their literacy and supporting José Carlos's ambitions. Providing nourishment becomes proof of her devotion. She prioritizes proper meals when better housing isn't possible, finding joy in Vera's delight at special meals. Carolina's quest to improve their living situation is fundamentally motivated by her children's future, declining relationships that might interfere, and viewing her writing as their potential escape route. Carolina's political observations emerge directly from lived experience, exposing the disconnect between politicians' promises and favela reality. She criticizes politicians' cyclical interest in the poor. Politicians only appear here in the garbage dump during election times. Councilman Cantidio Sampaio visited during his campaign, drinking from our cups, spoke softly, played with our children. But after winning, he never created a project to benefit the faveladuars. He never visited us again. This pattern repeats each election. Candidates distribute food, blankets, and promises, only to disappear after securing votes. Hunger shapes Carolina's perspective. When I'm hungry, I want to kill Jânio, hang Adhemar, and burn Juscelino. She believes Brazil needs leadership from someone who has experienced hunger. Hunger is also a teacher. She recognizes systemic issues beyond individual politicians while maintaining faith in democratic processes and dismissing ideological debates. Can people eat ideology? Can children be wrapped in speeches? Carolina's identity as a writer provides dignity amid grinding poverty. When I had nothing to eat, instead of cursing, I wrote, she explains. Writing transforms her anger into something productive, done in stolen moments between collecting paper and childcare, often at night after her children sleep or when the favela is quietest. Books represent her connection to a world beyond the favela. I can't sleep without reading. Books are mankind's greatest invention, she declares. Her love of literature comes from her teacher, Donna Lenita Salvina, and she chooses books over alcohol. When a neighbor remarks on her unusual love of books as a Black woman, Carolina embraces this as her defining characteristic. When a journalist discovers her diary, Carolina's hope surges after years of rejection. Writing provides psychological escape. The hours when I'm happy are when I'm living in imaginary castles. Most importantly, she sees her writing as documentation of injustice that might lead to change. I'm proving how I live. This transforms her daily struggle into a meaningful mission. Throughout her diary, Carolina maintains a fierce sense of personal dignity despite living in what she calls the garbage room of Sao Paulo. This dignity stems from her values, moral clarity, and refusal to be defined by circumstances. Carolina takes pride in her independence, supporting her family through her own labor. Her racial identity forms another cornerstone of her dignity. I adore my Black skin and my rustic hair, she declares when circus directors told her, "It's a pity you're Black." Her literacy distinguishes her in the favela. She reads constantly and writes despite exhaustion. Moral standards further bolster her self-worth. She avoids gossip, abstains from alcohol, and maintains clear boundaries in relationships. Carolina refuses to internalize society's devaluation of the poor, questioning systemic injustice as the root of poverty. Her diary transforms suffering into testimony that would eventually reach readers worldwide, showing that dignity isn't granted by circumstances, but claimed through how we choose to live.